Next on BYUSN, BYU survives and advances in style to the Big 12 quarterfinals. We'll recap the 87-73 win over UCF with BYU's Ali Khalifa and Dallin Hall. It's a top 25 rematch in the quarters, BYU and Texas Tech. We'll break down what it will take for BYU to advance to the semifinals. Our live coverage continues from Kansas City. I'll chat with ESPN's Sean Farnham. Plus, the alt cast is back. Blaine Fowler and Jonathan Tavernari weigh in during the game, starting at the bottom of the hour. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, March 14th. Welcome to the quarterfinals at the Big 12 Men's Basketball Tournament in Kansas City. I am Jerem Jordan. It's great to have you with us. Last night, a bit of a scare, no, not from basketball, but from the weather. Got plenty of tweets about this, about, hey, you're not from the Midwest. So my phone is buzzing at night. It's like National Weather Service, in all caps, severe thunderstorm warning in effect for this area. Destructive baseball size hail. Wow. Whoa, Kansas City, I said, to which on Twitter many of you said, you're from Utah, right? This is just like an average Thursday. No big deal. Hail pounding on the windows of the hotel. No big deal. But BYU really pounded UCF to the tune of 14 threes for a big-time win, and the Cougars advanced to the quarterfinals against Texas Tech. Complete coverage coming up on this program, including our altcast in the second half of the show, as mentioned with Blaine Fowler and Jonathan Tavernari, as you hear the bands roaring, the pep rally going on in the Power and Light District just to my right. And it's a fun environment here for a rematch between Texas Tech and BYU. But we start things off as it's time for What's Trending. Let's go, baby.
Cougs and the Knights.
Sidestep.
You cannot guard it.
Blocked by Silla. He is their most important player. This is what they do, Rich.
So BYU advances.
It is time for What's Trending as the Cougars take down UCF yesterday. Certainly Texas Tech on the mind, but we begin our coverage from Kansas City with my conversation with Ali Khalifa. 8 points yesterday, 5 assists, but it felt like he really controlled the game. And of course, during Ramadan, he's fasting. He's getting breakfast at 5:30-ish in the morning. He's not eating or drinking until about 7:30 at night. I spoke with the very tired but happy Ali Khalifa in the locker room after the game. Okay, first off, how you feeling, man?
Tired. I'm pretty hungry, not going to lie to you. But I feel pretty good. Never won a conference tournament game in my career. So it's pretty special. Really happy and got to get going. We got one tomorrow, too, against Texas Tech, so I'm really excited.
You come out and you knock down two of your first three, including the first three. What did that mean to you? Because I know you're very focused on, obviously, this game, but a lot of other things during Ramadan as well.
Yeah, I mean, I just came out to play. That's what I thought about. I didn't want to put it as a distraction. I knew I was tired and thirsty and hungry, but I didn't really. I just focused on just playing good, and it just felt good to knock the first two out of three. So that's made me feel good about myself and just keep balling. It was fun. So.
And it was the first of 14 made threes. What role did that play in today's game, in your opinion?
Oh, we made 14? Oh, wow. I mean, that's what we do. We take 30-plus threes a game, and even we miss, we make. We live with it, and that's our approach to every game. And today, the ball went in like it should be every game, and it felt great. That's how we beat teams, and that's us. You guys saw us today, so that was fun.
There's only one team that scored 80 plus all year against UCF, and it was BYU twice. What did it take to do that against a very good defensive team?
Yeah, it took a lot. Obviously, the 14 threes, I would say, and they're a really good defensive team, like in Kempom, by numbers, by everything, and they're long, athletic, and that's how they approach every game, and it feels good about to see our offense just take a step forward. We move the ball really well. We knew when they're switching, we knew how to throw it to Foose inside and pick and pops, pick and rolls. We were just on our toes the whole game, and that's why both games we scored 80-plus, because we were just on our toes and just ready to go. So,
doing all that stuff, you were in a rhythm. It seems like it'd be hard to get in a rhythm against them, considering kind of how physical and how choppy the game can be. Yet you guys were able to do it multiple times.
Yeah, it was the approach, punch first approach. We saw their game yesterday, obviously, and they played really hard. from the jump. When it's an early game, we haven't really had success early games, and it was really motivating for us just to go out and punch first. And we showed that, and then they came back, and then we punched first again. And that shows a lot about our character, about our team, because we got a lot of leaders on the court and off the court, and we're a very mature group. And even if stuff went sideways, we still got the job done.
Diallo's been a beast. You and Foose did a great job on him. What did it take to kind of limit Diallo?
Took a lot of physicality, obviously. I'll give credit to the whole team. We just hit him every time we saw him in the lane. And he's a big dude, like you said, and strong, really strong. And me, Foose, and all the other guys as well, whenever he's running in the lane, we just hit him and hit him hard, block him out, try and limit his rebounds and his touches. And I think we got him a little out of the game. I knew as well he was fasting as well, so it was kind of I knew like he would get a little tired as well, like I was tired. So, but we did a great job on him. I think he's a great player, big dude. But yeah.
At a free throw or anything, did that come up in any conversation? The hey, how you feeling?
Yeah, I asked him at the start of the game if he's fasting, and he's like, yeah. So it was pretty cool to see other Muslim players around the country at this time of the year just fasting. I know Isam, my friend, TCU, the big man number 44, he's fasting as well. And it's pretty cool to see other guys as well. I don't feel like I'm lonely a little bit. But yeah, I kind of saw it in his eyes as well. He looked a little tired. Obviously, we wake up early in the morning and eat. But yeah, like I respect him a lot for doing that.
What does that mean to you, and what went into the decision too fast in the most important games of the season? Because what you're doing is more than basketball, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion and in my religion, we fast every Ramadan no matter what, basically, except if you're really sick or traveling for a long distance and stuff like that. So for me, it was different. It was like, no matter what's going to happen, I don't care, I'll still fast, and we'll figure it out. And that's what we did. Like, the players and my teammates and the coaches really supported me. They gave me food every 5 a.m. Like, the managers, like B-Rob and Juice and Nate Austin did a lot of job with me, just give me food and whatever I need, and because I would stay up late a little bit and wake up 4:30, 5 a.m. to get food. So I got a lot of people supporting me, and it makes my life easier a little bit. But for me, it was nothing. I didn't even ask my parents if I can or can't. I was like, nah, I'm still fasting, and I'll live with my decision. I feel like it's going to be a good thing for our team, too. So,
on to Texas Tech. This is a team that you played once. You're up 17. Tough loss there. How excited are you for a chance at a little payback there?
Really excited. We've been looking. We always look at these teams who beat us once and we never got to play them again. And that's one of the games we really had them. So I'm really excited to play Texas Tech. We saw some success against them. We just didn't have it over there, the home crowd, and we played bad in the second half. But I think our whole team just paid back down. So really excited, and hopefully we're going to get the win tomorrow.
Okay, well, best of luck, and congrats on doing a really hard thing, fasting during this.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Ali Khalif, after yesterday's game against UCF, he really controls the game. It's incredible. Only 17 minutes played, but he did great work. As we welcome Spencer Linton into the program. What's up, Spence? Big win for the Cougars yesterday against UCF. On to the quarters, baby.
Hey, incredible stuff from Ali as well. Obviously, the fasting became like a national story as people became more aware of this and what he and BYU accomplished. But with what we've been talking about, he referenced, we've been looking forward to this chance to have one more shot against Texas Tech. And he's just one of the guys that's been outspoken. Everybody on that roster is super excited about getting a second shot against the Red Raiders after letting that 17-point lead slip away. Super impressive, Ali Khalifa, for sure.
And then Dallin Hall had to sit for most of that second half, but he comes out to start the second half, or the first half, starts the second half with a made three-pointer. He was awesome. The sophomore continues to grow. Here's my conversation with Dallin after the game in the locker room. All right, Dallin, what did it take to advance in this tournament through the first game there?
A lot of fight, a lot of resilience, stuff that's made our team special all year long.
You make 14 threes. I mean, that's a huge number against anybody, but especially against that defense. How did you guys do that?
Obviously, they're super talented athletically and just their defense and their coach. And so we knew that we were going to have to be super ball strong, protect that ball, and we found that when we did that and we got to 2 feet, we found open shooters, and that helped us a lot. I think we got a lot of great looks too, you know. It wasn't a lot of forced threes.
Do you like a good defensive floor slap?
Yeah, no, that's unique. I've never really seen that. Might have to implement that.
It's an old Duke thing.
Is
and
it?
Johnny Dawkins played at Duke. So that's that. In the 90s, they would do it with like Leitner and Hurley and that. So
well, that explains why I haven't seen that, you know.
Young blood. Okay, there's only one team in the Big 12 that scored 80-plus against UCF all year. It was you guys, and you did it twice. What did that take in now three wins over them to beat them and advance in this tournament?
Kind of the stuff that I was telling you, protecting the basketball. We're really lethal in transition when we get out and run and move the ball. I thought we started out of the gate super hot. Just we got stops, and then we were able to get out and run. And so kind of those two factors of protecting the basketball and just getting out and running is what makes our offense special. And then we got dudes like Ali Khalifa that are just a nightmare for defenses. Fusaini Traore, like shooters everywhere. So it's a super fun team, and when we get stops on defense, we can get out and play offense.
How'd you weather the storm? Because you're up 18, and then UCF gets it down to 3 in the second half.
Yeah, basketball's a game of runs, right? They made theirs, and that's what we said in our timeout. We're like, yo, they had their run. It's our turn to go on ours. We just tried to stick to what we know works, and we believe in what we do, and we trust in one another, and we know that eventually things will start going our way if we lean into those principles.
It was a 15-3 run specifically after that, which was pretty good. Okay, Ali Khalifa is fasting right now during this. How have you guys been able to support him physically, emotionally, and all that during Ramadan here?
It's awesome that he's, living his faith and choosing to do this. So as a friend, as a teammate, as a brother, we're just trying to be there to lift him up. You know, there's not a ton you can do for his body, right, trying to eat and things like that. But we can just pick him up, try and help him as much as we can out on the floor, and then, just be there for him when he needs a brother.
You had to sit the last 10 minutes of the first half, and then you come out and bang a three, right, to start the second half. How good did that feel, considering you kind of had to watch most of the first half?
Yeah, no, it felt good. We had run the same play earlier in the first half, and I had made a pass, and I was like, dang, I came off of that pretty open. And so I knew I was looking for that shot coming into the second half when they jumped in a zone. And Coach CT, he told me to just let it fly. So shout out CT.
Okay, Texas Tech. I know you guys have wanted Texas Tech. You're going to get them in round two after just the one game in Lubbock. What are your thoughts on the matchup?
Super excited. They're really talented. Offensively, they got a lot of guys. And we're just excited for a revenge game. Like, we jumped them early at their place, let them kind of get back into the game. And so we're a lot better team than we were then, and obviously they are too, so we're excited for the matchup.
Okay, good luck tomorrow.
Appreciate you.
BYU sophomore point guard Dallin Hall with Jerem Jordan, and you ask any member of the staff, they'll tell you just how instrumental and how important he is to get BYU into all of the places that they need to be. You see the difference when he's not on the floor and what that can do to BYU basketball. So critical for him to hit some huge threes in the second half as part of that barrage, Jerem. And look, BYU took some punches from UCF. You survived baseball-sized hail in the Kansas City area. Hopefully BYU can survive whatever Texas Tech throws at them today. As we rise and shout, it's time for What's Trending. What's Trending presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner. Okay, Jerem, it is the 5 versus the 4. I got the rematch I wanted for BYU against Tech. It is number 20 BYU versus number 25 Texas Tech in the AP poll. What in the world are you expecting in part two? Because it's been almost 2 months since these teams last played each other.
I'm expecting revenge from BYU. I really am. BYU, as you mentioned, has wanted this. We heard from Ali Khalifa and Dallin Hall. They wanted this matchup. And now we have it. It's Andy Reid versus Patrick Mahomes as well. We know Andy Reid's in the gym. We've already seen that he's in the gym. We're just outside of it. Patrick Mahomes, I would expect him to be there as well, probably in town. The NWSL opener, part of which he and his wife, Brittany, are owners, right? They should be at this game. On a Thursday in Kansas City, so I'm expecting big things there. I wonder if someone's going to go off for 30-plus in this game, because Pop Isaacs had the regular season high of 32 against BYU until Javon Small at 34 on Saturday with Oklahoma State. And then yesterday, Darius Johnson goes off for 32. Will Pop Isaacs go off again? But a big storyline in this one, Spence, is that Warren Washington, the 7-footer for Texas Tech, who put up a season-high 19 points and 9 rebounds, is not playing for the fifth straight game and the seventh in the last eight. He is in a boot courtside. I talked to Sean Farnham later. At the time, I didn't know whether he was playing or not. We discussed the impact or lack thereof of Washington, but that's nice. Now, you think, oh, that's big time for BYU. Texas Tech beat Baylor without Washington. So they're still very capable in a lot of ways. Darian Williams is a very good player, third-team all-conference. He's third in the league in rebounds. So you're going to handle him in the post with Foose and Khalif, of course, as well. But I feel like BYU is ready for this. A motivated BYU, when people don't think they can necessarily do it, has been really good this year. And they won at Kansas, who goes out yesterday, by the way. Another little breaking news, Mike Boynton Jr. out at Oklahoma State, multiple reports this morning. So a lot buzzing here in Kansas City. But what do I expect? BYU with some payback, some revenge, and to get to the semis against Houston tomorrow night.
Okay, Jaron, because you're there and you have been with BYU's team, I just want to throw another question right back to you because this is essentially the pregame show, courtesy of BYU Sports Nation. You already gave us the news that Warren Washington is not going to play, which is that's big, especially when you consider the 19 points that he did score against BYU and the Red Raiders win in Lubbock back in January. But is there any concern that BYU shows up this morning and feels any rollover fatigue from having to play against a scrappy and physical UCF team yesterday, and specifically Ali Khalifa, who is in the midst of fasting and Ramadan? Like, what sense do you get there about BYU's energy and if they have the physicality to compete 2 days in a row in the first game of the day?
I wonder what role it being in the morning will have on this, because BYU's been practicing. It's in the morning. It's the first game of the day. But like you mentioned, that can be a challenge also. Although yesterday, BYU shot the lights out, 14 threes. I said 13. I thought that was pretty high. I was off. It was 14, baby. Richie Saunders was amazing in the second half. I think the depth of BYU could really be flexed here. Although Texas Tech has great depth as well. They're very similar to BYU in that they have seven dudes that average eight or more points per game. They don't rely on Pop Isaacs to always just be the guy, right? BYU doesn't say, hey, Jackson Robinson, you got to be the guy off the bench every game. Jackson kind of struggled yesterday. It didn't really matter. So we'll see if a rested Texas Tech has the legs that BYU does not, or if BYU's depth and motivation based on the newest motivation, hey, we were the five. We're not supposed to win this game, but this is kind of a 50-50 game. And, in fact, Vegas has BYU as a favorite.
Yes.
KenPom, ESPN, they have BYU predicted to win this game. So let's go, man.
And that leads us naturally into our question of the day. BYU, you mentioned, is a clear favorite, 2.5-point favorite, according to our friends in the desert. 58% chance specifically to win, according to Ken Pomeroy's index. So we're asking everybody else, do you expect BYU to beat Texas Tech and get to the Big 12 semifinals? Which, mind you, Jerem, if BYU does win this game, now they become a legitimate contender to be a four seed in the NCAA tournament, which is wild. And maybe the location is Salt Lake City. There are huge ramifications in this game for BYU as it pertains to March basketball. John Chaney on X answers with this. I do expect BYU to take this win. This is a good matchup. And BYU's team is clicking. Let's stay locked in. All right, Jerem, in 15 seconds or less, do you feel like this is a good matchup for BYU today?
It's two similar teams, but a motivated BYU, as you've talked about throughout the season, and I agree, is very, very good at responding to that needed motivation. They'll do it today, I think.
Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Jerem Jordan is live in Kansas City. I'm here in Provo, the five-seed BYU and the 4-seed Texas Tech, 12:30 Eastern in the Big 12 quarterfinals. Listen on BYU Radio, watch live on ESPN2. Up next, ESPN's Sean Farnham previews this quarterfinal showdown between the Cougars and Red Raiders. Does he expect BYU to get to the semifinals? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
And he hands off there to Richie. Richie will drive it. Split defenders. Reverse lay it. Score!
So good.
Richie Saunders.
Here's Isaacs. Forget about it.
Dallin Hall on the bounce. He'll pull and fire and score the three. Dallin Hall.
Cougars and Red Raiders part two live in Kansas City at the Big 12 tournament. I am Spencer Linton here in Provo. Jerem Jordan is in Kansas City, and just spoke with our good friend, ESPN College Basketball Insider and Analyst Sean Farnham, on what he expects in part two of this series. We'll get to that in just a moment. Okay, and as a matter of fact, let's roll it out. Sean Farnham with Jerem Jordan.
Typically, we have a dress code on this program. You are breaking it, but it's okay because you're going to be doing studio stuff all day on ESPN2, I take it?
ESPN2, 12 straight hours, all four games here from the Big 12 tournament. I just want this to be a moment, okay? We need to have a moment here.
Let's have a moment.
Because the way we started and the way the Cougar board reacted and thought that I was mean to you.
I have no idea because I don't read Cougar board.
They need to see us. Just look at us. Like,
it's all good.
We're family and friends,
baby.
Good. We're here at KC together.
We're holding the mic flags. We're in Kansas City. Let's go. This is so exciting. BYU's into the quarterfinals, taking on Texas Tech. This is a team that beat BYU despite BYU having a 17-point lead in that game. Cougars are out for a revenge, talking to some of the players. They wanted Texas Tech today. It's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, you know, and really you go back to how this season has gone. That's the game that would have made me look really, really smart in November when I said they would win 11 games in conference.
You were one off, dude. That was the one.
I was one off, and that was the one. I do think that matters a little bit here. I do think that the fact that they feel like they had him and they let him off the hook, there's a mental edge and a want-to-get-back kind of mode for this BYU team. The question becomes, obviously, after what they were able to accomplish yesterday, 14 made three-pointers. Can they replicate that same performance and shoot the ball as well? If they can, they advance and get to play another game. If they can't, then they probably go back home to Provo and get ready to wear a home color uniform in the NCAA tournament. But that's the part that I think that is the best aspect of why are you playing in the Big 12? Well, you're playing in the Big 12, and it elevated everybody, right? This team is basically the same team that finished fifth in the WCC. They just finished fifth and ahead of Kansas in their first season inside the Big 12 conference, because it's mandatory to elevate your play. There is no letdown. There is no slippage, because if you don't come and bring it, you're going to lose. They know that. They've experienced that all of conference season, so my anticipation is they're not going to have any slippage here today. That if they lose this game, it's going to be because Texas Tech won the game, not because they lost it.
Texas Tech is a team that's coming in on fire. Just beat Baylor on Saturday at home. Four seed. Warren Washington, their seven-footer, has not played the last four games. TBD whether he's going to play in this one. He had 19 against BYU in the first. Him not playing could be a deal given the effectiveness of BYU's 1-2 punch with Khalifa and Foos.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Khalifa pregame as we do a little bit of a show. There's a college scoreboard live that starts at 11 a.m.
Lots of Sean Farnham today, by the way. It's going to be awesome.
But one of the things that I'm talking about is Khalifa, because it changes the offense, right? His passing and his skill set is so unique. When I talked to him about it, I said, where'd you learn how to pass like that? He said, well, I was Global Academy in Australia, and I had so many talented players around him, and he wasn't finding his own way through. And he said, I had to do something that nobody else was doing at that time, and that's ball movement. And I learned that if I lifted and I could pass the ball well, set up my teammates, all of a sudden the minutes would increase. And I think that's similar to what he's done here at BYU. And the problem that it poses for opponents is that when Foos is in the game, he's going to screen, he's going to dive, he's going to duck. And then he's going to try to create an angle to score. When Khalifa's in the game, he's going to lift, he's going to space, he's going to shoot a three, he's going to find guys on backdoor cuts. And so really you have to prepare for two different offenses. And it just depends on who plays more, what Mark Pope feels is going to give them a distinct advantage in the game. But Khalifa's ability to facilitate the offense as a center guard, or a point center, whatever you want to call it, definitely changes things up, especially when you can space the floor with as many shooters as BYU has.
Khalifa's knee has been banged up. I wonder how he's going to do on the first game of a back-to-back that he hasn't had kind of mostly all year.
But minutes were limited yesterday.
17, yeah.
So it's not like the wear and tear is there and the treatment that you know, the trainers
fasting, of course, and everything. Yep.
There's definitely ways to get around that. It's not like he played 38 minutes yesterday and he's got to come back and try to do it again today.
Yep.
So I think that's probably the sweet spot of minutes that he probably plays again because of that knee. If you can get 15 to 20, that's the range that I think that Mark Pope would like to see out of him. And then that would allow him to also be able to come back should there be a game tomorrow.
Pop Isaacs is a guy who went off for 32. That was the most against BYU until Saturday when Javon Small went for 34. And then Darius Johnson went for 32 yesterday. So you've always been giving up some 30-point scores, but have won the last two games by 14. So I don't know if it's the worst thing in the world if Pop Isaacs goes off. You just can't have, other guys kind of flowing there. What does BYU have to do to win this game other than, if they make 14 threes, they're going to win.
Rebounding. I think the rebounding war, can they dominate on the glass? Can you manufacture second chance points? You know, those, the offensive rebound kick out threes that are such high percentage looks. Can you make sure that you're not giving up second chance points on your defensive glass? I think to me that's going to be key, because also what that means is you're playing with a physical nature. More often when you're playing with a physical nature, what does that also lead to? Free throws. And I think all of those things, it's champ, I mean, champ week. You know, everything slows down just a little bit. And so when the game slows down, if the shots aren't falling, how else can you be productive? And to me, you send a message to your opponent. You keep them in front of you. You play position defense and make sure they're taking contested shots. You get in gaps. Don't give up driving lanes. And then you rebound the ball. You don't give them extra life. And if you do that over the course of 40 minutes, probably at the end of the game, you're going to end up looking up the scoreboard going, hey, we're pretty good.
Red Raiders and Cougars. Winner gets Houston tomorrow. Number one team in the league and in the country. There were some great games last night, too. This tournament is turning out to be exactly what we thought, except I don't think Kansas was not going to play the top two players, get ready for next week, and then get upset by 20 to Cincinnati, and then Texas goes out to Kansas State.
Yeah, you know, I think you look at, in particular, the Kansas game. That was kind of something that I kind of expected. Obviously, I saw Cincinnati in Provo, and I saw the way they fought in that game. Wes Miller's team needs to win games here. They need to win games in a big-time way to try to have any chance of getting to the NCAA tournament. Picked up their 20th win yesterday. I mean, you look at the additions of this conference. Houston, well, they're coming from the American. They're not going to have the same success in the Big 12. Oh, they won the conference. Oh, BYU's coming from the WCC. You know, they were a fifth-place team last year. They're not going to have success in the Big 12. Now they finished ahead of Kansas. You know, Cincinnati, you know, again, you know, Wes Miller hasn't made the NCAA tournament yet from that team. Well, they got 20 wins inside the Big 12. And that's impressive. And next year, the teams that are coming in are going to be equally as impressive. And that's what makes this conference so special, so unique. But for Wes Miller's team, you knew they were going to have an edge last night. And they knew they were shorthanded. And so they felt like, hey, you know what? Let's be aggressive. Let's attack. Yep. Let's apply the pressure and put it on Kansas and see how they respond. And Kansas did not respond well last night. And for Kansas, that's a throwaway game. Crumple up the piece of paper. Don't even look at the box score and just get rid of it. Because it won't matter as long as you get those other two guys back for next week's tournament. And that's when it will matter for the Kansas Jayhawks. I still don't think the Jayhawks are a Final Four quality team, just based on the fact that they have no depth whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I think that was exposed once again last night.
Okay, it's going to be a lot of Sean Farnham today. What's the go-to, hey, my energy is down a little bit, I need to raise that, say it about 6 o'clock tonight?
Well, it would be a cougar tail naturally, but Tyson didn't bring me one. Tyson Jacks did not bring me a cougar tail. I'm very, very disappointed.
We did record a Big 12 Eats segment, which we'll put out there soon enough. So we tried the Cosmos Churros here. More on that later. But Sean.
No, but honestly, it'll probably be some Coca-Cola Classic.
Yeah.
I feel like Coke is the only brand that you can drink.
Well, what is this, Wayne's World? What a sellout. Back to you.
Hey, BYU's a Coca-Cola school. He knows who he works for in that instance, Jerem.
Yes, it is.
And hopefully you enjoyed all those treats.
Okay.
We're looking forward to that segment. It just got posted on social media, so go there if you want to see Jerem and Sean try all of the Big 12 eats. Final thoughts as you get ready to head inside and watch Texas Tech and BYU Part 2.
Final thing, stakes are high. Don't let Texas Tech be the only team to beat BYU twice. Put yourself in a 4-seed spot. Granted, if BYU gets Salt Lake, we don't really care what the seed is. And if BYU wins this game, it'll be the first 3-game win streak in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Stakes are high. Let's go.
Yeah, how about that? Of note, BYU made 13 threes and shot better than 32% the last time they played Texas Tech. It was one of those rare instances where they hit those marks and didn't win the game. So very interesting stuff. Granted, Warren Washington not playing in this game. He was a big impact player. Can't wait to watch. Jerem, enjoy the game. Appreciate your fantastic coverage. You've been a busy man. Have a great day at quarterfinal Thursday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, brother. Shout out Blaine and JT. Let's go.
Let's go. 5-seed BYU and 4-seed Texas Tech. Just moments away from tippy-off in the Big 12 tournament quarterfinals. Again, listen on BYU Radio. Watch it on ESPN2. And, in fact, come back and join us. Get your split screen ready. You can watch the game and listen to BYU's greats, Blaine Fowler and Jonathan Tavernari, discuss with me the big picture scenarios here and what a win would mean. Does BYU have an outside shot to be a 3-seed in the NCAA tournament? We'll walk you through that path. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. This is BYU Sports Nation, and we now welcome in two former BYU greats, our dual threat analyst, Uncle B, Blaine Fowler, and joining us for back-to-back days as well is one of the greatest to ever shoot the ball at BYU.
That's right.
Jonathan Tavernari.
I'm the good luck charm. That's why we won yesterday.
That's why you had to come back today.
Same seat, same position.
And by the way, he can still shoot it.
Yes, he can.
Yes, he can still shoot it.
I don't doubt it. Are you kidding me?
He can still shoot it, I promise you.
Absolutely. Okay, unique scenario here because BYU and Texas Tech are just about to tip off from Kansas City. We had great coverage from Jerem Jordan. He's now inside the building as Mark Pope and the Cougars look to get through the quarterfinals and just maybe a shot at Houston, assuming Houston beats TCU in the semifinals. So as you look at BYU and how they match up with Texas Tech this time around, Blaine, what jumps off the page between the Cougars and the Red Raiders?
Well, in that first meeting, and remember, this is all the way back in January, BYU came out of the locker room, and Texas Tech was forced them to kind of get on their heels. And turnovers, when I look at numbers, they weren't crazy in terms of the number of turnovers, but the type of turnovers that BYU had in that game were deadly. We call them terminal turnovers when you turn it over in the backcourt and the other team just runs down and either dunks it or you follow them and they get to the free throw line. You just convert them to points. Keep in mind, BYU had 12 turnovers in that game, 22 points off of turnovers. A 1-to-1 ratio is considered a pretty efficient job of taking the turnovers you get and turning it into points.
Yeah.
12-to-22 is ridiculous. So what do I think is going to be different this time? BYU has gotten so much better in the backcourt, Dallin Hall, the whole group really, in pressure situations. Do they ever turn it over? Sometimes they do, but they seem to be able to reel it back in, and they do a much better job now than they did back then of taking care of the ball. And you'd rather throw it into Foose and have him hit it off his leg and have it go out of bounds so you can set your defense. So the type of turnovers they had in that game just killed them in that game. And I don't think that they're going to do that in this one.
We are officially tipped off in Kansas City. And JT, BYU made 13 threes in that first matchup against Texas Tech and lost. And they shot better than 32%. Like, the magic numbers in large part have been, hey, make at least 10 threes. And if you're shooting better than 32% on those threes, like, BYU typically wins the game. That was not the case. So it was an outlier. What do you feel like BYU needs to do today to have a shot, again, to get into the semifinals? How many threes do they need to make?
I don't necessarily think it's about the number of threes they make, right? I think it's more about how they're controlling the pace. Texas Tech is not a very tall team, not a very big team, but they're an up-and-down team, which is the way BYU likes to play. And so to me, not only as the game as a whole, but, you know, the game is getting started right now, the key to me becomes, can you control their run? Can you rebound the ball? And then can you convert, you know, almost to Blaine's point, can you convert those turnovers into points? And then they're going to bound to make runs. I mean, was it 17 that we were up at that game and ended up losing it? And so can you control the runs? I think yesterday against UCF, BYU did a phenomenal job of controlling the UCF runs, you know, especially at that, you know, 12-to-8-minute mark in the second half as the point guard was just going crazy. And the game, I think, got cut down to about, you know, 59-56.
Yeah, three-point game.
Yeah, and so to me, that becomes the key. Can you rebound enough? I feel like BYU can make enough shots. You know, as long as they get good wide-open looks, I think they're going to get enough shots.
Well, as it stands, Texas Tech, like BYU did to UCF yesterday, as the rest of the team quickly out of the gate, they lead 7-0 right now. This is the Big 12. We have been prone to see big leads go away. It happened yesterday when UCF cut BYU's lead from 18 down to 3. And again, the burst ability of the Cougars as Trevin Nell misfires from 3. Blaine, I know you wanted to add to this conversation here.
Yeah, and for BYU, it's a slow start. BYU starts out 0-for-4 in this game, but it's not because they haven't gotten good looks. They have had wide open looks already in this game, and Texas Tech hasn't missed a shot yet. As you said, in Big 12 games, what we've seen is whoever comes out hot doesn't necessarily determine the game at this point in this league, because their teams are going to make runs. You just expect that they're going to make runs, and it's how you manage the runs and how long those runs are and how you come back from those that make a difference. The other point I was going to make to add on to what Jonathan was saying in that last meeting, when Texas Tech got BYU on its heels, they were on their heels in every aspect of the game. Defensively, they seemed a little bit slow in that second half, and they fouled a bunch. So the two things that really stood out to me was the free throw differential in that game and then the points off of turnovers, the turnover differential. And they didn't put enough pressure on Texas Tech to force them to do anything out of the ordinary. And so Texas Tech only had 6 turnovers in that game. So to me, BYU has to be a little more aggressive defensively. They got to defend without fouling if they can. Because in that last game, in the second half alone, Texas Tech was plus 12 in free throw makes. That with being you know, having 22 points off of turnovers. We're talking about Texas Tech was plus 18 in points off of turnovers. And in the second half alone, plus 12 in free throws made. That's a formula to lose again. That's a formula to lose by 20. And that didn't happen because BYU shot the ball so well in that first half. But and BYU finally now on the board in this game, they take it down low and get it to Khalifa. And Jonathan, you mentioned that this is a team that doesn't start a bunch of big guys, and BYU needs to take advantage of that. Without Warren Washington in this game at seven feet tall, a big time rim protector.
He scored 19 against BYU.
And he's a great rebounder. He changed a bunch of shots in the second half for BYU, and they did get shots at the rim. BYU, they're going to shoot threes, but when Texas Tech runs them off the three-point line, they need to not be afraid to attack the rim and go after it.
One thing that I would add to this is it's interesting that you just pointed that out. Washington was the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he was a massive presence. I mean, he averaged close to a double-double this year, right? Almost, 16-8. But to me, something that BYU, we haven't seen it, at least in a great number of situations is, even with Foos, give the ball to him on a post, let him work. I feel like, and I tweeted this out yesterday after the game, one of the keys to me, I think, even with Ali Khalifa right now is the first bucket of the game, and they're going right back to it right now, which is a great thing. Let these guys post up, create a type of differentiator that's a great pass, but attack from inside. You have the size. I wouldn't be surprised if Foos has a heck of a game. I'm talking about, a 16-7 or something close to, 20 points and 10 boards. We've always wondered, hey, how is Foos going to fare against the bigger, stronger competition in the Big 12? And when healthy, he has been dominant. And so I think that this is the perfect game for Foos to just, establish himself and have a really good presence. The game is 12-2 right now, but as both of you mentioned, and we've seen all year long with all of the teams in the conference, it's a runs game, right? I mean, who's going to make the run? How are they going to react? BYU is going to shoot threes regardless, and so to me, it's a game that instead of being BYU is a perimeter-oriented team. I mean, you've called so many games that we, focus on outside. To me, this game today is we got to start the game from the inside out, so that they can start collapsing and you can create some movement on the outside rather than, focusing on the three-point shots first. But I think focus as a secondary option after you pound the ball inside.
All right, let's take the wide angle lens into this conversation and just look at what BYU's resume is right now. Incredibly, like at worst, it feels like BYU's locked in a 5 seed. Is it fair to say that by BYU beating UCF and getting to the quarterfinals today, has BYU done enough to be a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament play?
Yeah, I felt like yesterday's game was to lock that 5 seed in. I felt like there was a chance, depending on what else happened in the rest of the country, that they could lose that game and still be a 5 seed. And my feeling all along was you win that game, you're absolutely a 5 seed. You win this game, because this is a quad one neutral court game. I think you're a 4 seed, and here's why I think that. Because then you're playing the number one net team in the country in the semifinals. You could lose to Houston and move up.
Isn't that interesting?
So you win this game. The worst case scenario, you stay at 12, maybe you move to 11 in the net, right? And then you could go lose to Houston and move up, which is crazy to think. But that's the number one net team, the number one eight. Like, it's the number one team in the country right now. And so that Houston game almost doesn't even matter. So get through this one. I believe a win here puts you in a 4 seed,
wow,
which probably puts you in Salt Lake City. So there is a lot riding on this one.
I'll play devil's advocate for a sec. on the right here, I was listening to the radio, and someone mentioned that the committee has come out and made a statement that, you know, about 23 of the at-large bids are pretty much kind of sat with the conferences, but they are almost done setting the seats and the at-large bids. And so I do think, you know, to kind of play a little bit of devil's advocate, I always wondered how games like this in a tournament, you know, do you move up a spot? Do you move down a spot? How much can really BYU, you know, what jump can BYU make if they go from, you know, a 5 to a 4? You know, if they win it all, can they go to a 3?
Yeah.
And so those are things that I've always been curious about.
Hey, great stuff thus far with Jonathan Tavernari and Blaine Fowler as our Altcast continues here live on BYU Sports Nation. The Cougars trailing 12-2. An injury to Darian Williams, however, from Texas Tech happened just a few minutes ago. How will that impact the game? And Jonathan brought up the 3-seed potential. Is there any legitimacy to that if BYU does something special in Kansas City? Stay with us for more BYU Sports Nation. Continues live from Provo, Utah, alongside Blaine Fowler and Jonathan Tavernari. I'm Spencer Linton. BYU basketball at the Big 12 tournament, trailing Texas Tech 12-2 early in the game, 15:55 to play. We just saw Darian Williams, good player for the Red Raiders, hobble off the court. How does that impact what could potentially happen today? Texas Tech already missing their big man, Warren Washington, as well.
Yeah, so this is another big. This is a forward that's a rebounder, a guy with size. To me, that is attack, go to the rim, get to the free throw line. You've got to limit. Then they've had, BYU's had some backcourt turnovers again. Like they just the last score for Texas Tech was a turnover way out away from the basket that turned into a run out on the other end. BYU eventually start making shots. This second wave of players that come in that just came out off the bench on this last timeout, the Richie Saunders, the Jackson Robinson, the Foos Traore.
Oh, yeah, all three bench players.
When those three bench players come in, they, first off, have more energy than anybody you leave in the game for your first line. And anybody you bring off the bench, they are better than. It's the best second group in college basketball right now. So this is where BYU should make a run. This is where they can have more energy. This is where they can make shots. And what does Jackson Robinson do in this game? Comes right off the bench and knocks down a 3.
That's his game. 14-5, by the way, after Jackson Robinson knocks
down. Oh, and then Richie Saunders comes off the bench and knocks down a 3. And that's what I'm talking about.
And my favorite thing about this is both times, the type of set plays that they ran, they were trying to look for Foos on a block. So, which I love it.
Working through the post.
I think that, and what did Texas Tech do? And I know there was a turnover, but what did Texas Tech do? They absolutely went in double Foos. And so you get them in a position on a block, they're going to double. If there's two people on you, somebody's going to be wide open.
So there's a scenario here where BYU, for the first time, if they win this game, they would win 3 games in the Big 12 for the first time all season. It hasn't happened.
Right, like, 3 in a row.
This would be unique for sure. We were talking about seeding lines. Blaine, you're of the opinion that if BYU beats Texas Tech today, they now become a legitimate 4-seed potential here in March Madness. Is there anything better that BYU could do? Let's say that they win this game and then pull a shocker and beat Houston or TCU, whoever it is, and get to the championship game. Can BYU do better than a 4-seed, or is that the ceiling right now?
I think that there's an outside chance they could be a 3 if they win the Big 12 tournament.
Okay, I
don't think you can beat Houston, although that would be beating the number one team in the country, right? But beat Houston and move up higher than a 4. I think you just play Houston and you got a chance to be a 4. You beat Houston, I think you are a 4 for sure. But I think if you go lose in the championship game, say to Iowa State in the championship game, I think you stay a 4. You win the championship. Now the committee's got to go, oh, wait a minute here. This team just won the tournament? We got to rethink this. We had them as a 5. We thought about moving them to a 4, but none of us expected them to beat the number one team in the country and to beat, you know, Iowa State, who also is highly, highly regarded. They may be a 3. There would be a discussion about them being a 3.
Which is just wild.
Listen, if you can win a game, you win a game, right? You just don't, you know, you don't. You don't pull a Kansas and just rest your best players. sorry, Colton, I need some water. But so you don't. Obviously, we don't do that. I will say, however, that if they can win this game, let's just say if they lose this game, I think they're guaranteed to be the top fifth seed.
Yes.
In the whole field.
Okay.
If they can win this game, I think that at that point it becomes what we were talking about at the break. You know, what happens to the other four seeds, the other three seeds, and so on, for them to maybe be, you know, the last four seed or, you know, the third four seed or whatever the case may be. But I wouldn't go as far as say I would like to also be Houston and go to the tournament, the Big 12 tournament championship game. And here's why. I think that if you can give Ali Khalifa and some of these other guys almost a 3-4-5 day rest before you play next Thursday, I think that's become massive, right?
Oh, yeah. You'd almost rather have them lose then, because is there really that big of a difference, right, Jonathan?
That's my point. For them to be able to even move a line, like we're talking about, for them to be a three seed, everything, I mean, you know, the planets will have to align, you know, we would have a solar eclipse and just be able to be in a situation where, oh, they're a three seed, right? But that's a lot of what ifs. And so I, at this point, much rather have a situation where we know we're locking the NCAA tournament. Do matchups really matter when you're at 4 or 5, you know, maybe a 6? You know, but we're not a 6. But the point is, you can then have a chance to move to the second round and then have the guys ready for, you know, maybe win the second round and go to the Sweet 16. And so is winning this game vital for BYU? I don't think so. I think it's great. Definitely, I would be, you know, if I had a choice, I wouldn't try to, you know, want to be Houston and go to the championship. These guys are going to be exhausted by Thursday. And I'm thinking about Ali Khalifa and the amazing thing he is doing with,
or
you know,
fasting and Ramadan.
You know, yes. That's my perspective.
You said
on
you
this.
Felt a real spiritual connection to that.
It was incredible. I mean, I was in a car, I was listening. It really, I could feel the spirit, right? And this BYU TV, we can bear our testimonies.
Right,
great.
Sure.
And so it was really thing. Like, I really felt it. I called my wife. My wife, she, you know, worked for the government. She read the Quran and she speaks Arabic. You know, the Middle Eastern culture is very close to her heart. And it was just one of those things that it really touched me to see his faith and the way that he approached it and talk about it openly. It's great, right? And it's what we're all about. You know, the world is our campus. Enter to learn, go forth to serve. And to see somebody of a different faith come in, but with the same idea of, you know, how can I make the world a better place and make it, you know, a more beautiful place for everybody. That was really something that really touched me.
11:56 to play in the first half. Texas Tech with a 22-11 lead on BYU. Blaine, I don't know if it's going to matter whether BYU is a 4 or 5. You would think it shouldn't impact location, right? Because the 4 and the 5 are together. I don't know how the committee is going to work it out. Like, well, if BYU is a 5 seed, then maybe we don't reward them with regionality and they're going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it feels like Pittsburgh or Salt Lake
City.
But
if they've earned a 4, then maybe we do put them. They've earned that region tie and we put them in Salt Lake City. I'm interested to hear your opinion on what you think the committee will do with the regions.
I do think they like to keep teams as close to home as they possibly can. It's good
typically, yes.
It's good for the tournament because it's good for attendance, right?
Does it impact BYU, however, though? Because Joe Lunardi has talked about this multiple times on our program. Sometimes the committee will be like, well, BYU's not willing to play.
We have to accommodate the Thursday,
so
Saturday thing.
Maybe we got to slide them a line or we got to push them somewhere else.
That's why I think it's important, you know, as Jonathan says, you're solid. 5, rather, yeah. Even if you lose, you're the number 1 5. Do you go, well, we're going to move them because they're a Thursday, Saturday? Not if they're the number 1 seed in that. If they're the number 1 5 seed or a 4 seed, I think you leave them in Salt Lake City. So, and it's interesting. You mentioned Kansas. Kansas's mentality is, we're in the tournament. We got guys that are hurt but could play. They're not playing. We don't care about the Big 12 tournament. We won that a bazillion times.
Yeah.
We care about next week, so we'll rest them. So there's something to be said for what Jonathan's talking about. You know, I would love to see him win this game, and then I don't really care if they beat Houston.
After that.
Because I like the idea of having a rest, and I don't think it matters.
Like having almost a full week of rest.
First, yeah. About this game, though, they got to stop. Let 6 straight points for Texas Tech on second chance rebounds.
There you go. All right, we're going to take our final break, come back with some quick thoughts as we wrap up another unique edition of BYU Sports Nation. It's game day, quarterfinals for BYU in Kansas City. We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day, do you expect BYU to beat Texas Tech and get to the Big 12 semifinals? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Caleb Plou on X says BYU seems to be the healthiest roster on this leg of the bracket. I think depth keeps us in the game for the long run, and BYU wears them out to cover. Okay, it's going to require a comeback. They're down 11 early. Rise and Shadow presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics, to Ali Khalifa for just an incredible example of faith. For Jonathan Tavernari and Blaine Fowler, I'm Spencer Linton. Thanks for joining us, gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow. Will BYU be in semifinal Friday? Find out. This is BYU Sports Station. Go Cougs.